In the name of the one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. As I read the passage from Luke's gospel this week, there was one word that I kept coming back to time and again, almost like a beacon on top of a lighthouse shining into the darkness. Abundance. There is real, powerful abundance found throughout these 11 verses. And as I thought about it, I was led to sort of mentally place it in three different categories. First, there is the abundance of presence. It begins with the abundant crowd and those pressing in on Jesus at the water's edge. Time and again, we read of crowds following Jesus, crowds walking with and behind him on the roads, crowds gathered on hillsides and in villages to hear him, crowds clamoring for his words and for his healing. And here a crowd has gathered once again to hear the word of God. They have found him, and they are present for Jesus. And to put it in a slightly different way, they have presented themselves to Jesus. But the abundant presence is also that of Jesus himself. God isn't distant or removed from the people of Israel. God is no longer just found in the Holy of Holies in the Jerusalem temple. God is there on that day in the form of the incarnate Son. The magnificence of God, the overwhelming transcendent power of the Creator surrounds them and envelops the crowd, even as it stands among them. God is present for the crowd. The second type of abundance that I find in this passage is the abundance of gifts. The miraculous catch of fish that Peter and James and John took in is absolutely incredible. A catch so large that it started to break their nets. A haul so tremendous it started to sink not one but two boats. It was certainly enough that would have provided financially for the fishermen and their families for a period of time, and it would feed many in the village and in the surrounding area. In a moment when need was great, in a place where the result of a night's work before had yielded absolutely nothing, there suddenly was abundance. And again, we find this abundance, the abundance of gifts, in the presence of Jesus himself. Peter and the others had worked all night in the boats, casting their nets time and time again into the water and catching nothing. I don't doubt that they were tired and frustrated and probably even angry. And undoubtedly they were worried about over what the lack of a catch meant for their livelihood. And yet here was Jesus encouraging them to try one more time. The abundant gifts here are the encouragement that Jesus offers, the support that he offers, and his willingness to demonstrate for them that through God all things are possible. And finally, there is an abundance of grace. Look again at the reaction of Peter when he witnesses this miracle from Jesus. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter recognized the power of the one sitting next to him in the boat, and in that instant recognized and proclaimed his own shortcomings as a flawed child of God. And how did Jesus react? He didn't chastise Peter. There was no response of, "Yes, well, as a matter of fact, you are." No, Jesus responded with abundant grace and told him that there was something even greater that Peter would be doing. The fish he would catch would now be the fish of humanity. Instead of turning his back on this man because of sin, Jesus instead invited Peter to follow him. How often might we stop to consider the presence of abundance, the abundance of presence and gifts and grace in our own lives? In those moments when we may be tired, it's often difficult to find the strength to keep going. When our work never seems to be enough, or we never seem to achieve the goals that we're shooting for, or our own sin seems to be so much that the reward of grace is the last thing that we could ever expect, abundance is not something we'd be looking for. Taking the next step may feel like one step too far. Accepting the challenge to try one more time might feel like a risk that we're not courageous enough to undertake. None of us want to fail. None of us want the nets and the boats in our lives to start to fray or to sink. But if we are to discover the joyful abundance of God, like the disciples, we also have to be willing to throw our nets out into the deeper water. So how do we do that? Well, first, we acknowledge the presence of God in the world, the presence of God in our lives. In the time of the ministry of Paul, the basic creed of faith that people shared was three words: Jesus is Lord. Simply saying that, even today, is a direct way of opening up ourselves to the knowledge of God's presence. Next, we should acknowledge the gifts in our lives. They don't have to be large or overwhelming. Often a gift can be as simple as a phone call from a friend, or a hug, or smiling at someone as they walk past. And when you stop and you begin to reflect at the end of each day on each one of these small gifts, you will discover the true abundance that God has placed in your life. Finally, acknowledge the grace of God and be certain and know that you are worthy of it. The dark moments of doubt and uncertainty that we feel in our lives, our own struggles with sin, may veil that reality, but grace is the summative moment. Through the acknowledgement of God's presence and reflecting on the gifts that we receive each and every day, we will know that we have been granted unconditional grace. So how do we say thank you? How do we say thank you for the presence, for the gifts, and for the grace? I think we can say thank you with what we choose to do with the abundance we receive, with how we share it with the world. And there's something else that I'll conclude with, something simple but wonderful in its own way, a simple, beautiful way of saying thank you. We show our joy. From the words of Karl Barth, joy is the simplest form of gratitude. Amen.